97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, charges of sexual assault against athletes at Baylor University. Our guest, Dan Solomon, writer for Texas Monthly, who has uncovered a lot of details and has been following this story for quite a while. Dan, bring our listeners up to speed, if you will. We know that the football coach has been fired, the president of the university demoted. What else is happening there?
Well, a couple of quick things about that, because the story is really complicated. So the football coach hasn't technically been fired. He's been suspended with intent to fire, which is sounds like it's basically the same thing. But over the past couple of days, certain members of the Board of Regents, which is a really large board, there are more than 30 members, have been pushing to leave his suspension in place for a year and then reinstate him for the 2017 season. Mm. It doesn't look like that's going to happen right now, but there's been a lot of chatter in Waco and elsewhere sort of about the possibility that Art Briles, the football coach or the former football coach at Baylor, could be back, depending on sort of what happens with some of their you know, kind of high-powered boosters and members of the Board of Regents who, you know, would like the coach back because he was quite good at coaching football. So that's, you know, just to be clear about where things are right now, Art Briles has been suspended. They haven't voted yet on whether to fire him. It's expected that they will, but, the story has been surprising over the past couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, Ken Starr, the university president, was demoted to chancellor and then resigned as chancellor last week and is now, currently appears to just be a professor at the law school. We'll see if that lasts. The relationship between him and Baylor seems rather contentious at this point. We've been trying to interview him and trying to schedule those interviews have been challenging. And when we reached out through Baylor's communications people, they told us that they are not coordinating his media anymore. He's now coordinating all of his media himself, and he seems like he's kind of going on the offensive against Baylor in terms of wanting to kind of protect his reputation in how he's been implicated in all of this. So both of those situations are a little bit fluid. The whole story just kind of keeps changing, which is strange because, you know, it seemed like it was pretty much done a couple of weeks ago. But Waco's an interesting place, and Baylor's an interesting place within it.
And our listeners might think, oh, Ken Starr, I've heard that name before. He was the prosecutor involved in the investigation of Bill Clinton back in the day when Congress was trying to impeach Bill Clinton. So same guy. All right, so yeah. All this is based on allegations, but more than that, there are some actual convictions involved here of football players against other students at Baylor. And in one of your stories, I really want to touch on this because it resonates with me. You talk about Baylor being kind of a sleepy little place and kind of off the radar, and then just in such a short period of time, shot to the forefront. And I'm wondering if you sense a management issue. I kind of think of a little town that goes from 25,000 residents to 250,000 residents and only after the fact realizes that, hey, we don't have the roads, we don't have the schools, we don't have the infrastructure to support this. Is that part of the problem, you think, at Baylor?
I mean, I think so, yeah. I think that, you know, Baylor had a really focused plan in 2002 called the Baylor 2012 plan, and it was a 10-year action plan where Baylor basically wanted to become the Baptist Notre Dame. And in some ways, they were really successful at that. You know, they, you know, invested a ton of money. Baylor had really always been very hesitant to take on debt, but they, you know, they took on a ton of debt in order to finance a new stadium, a new science building, a lot of new construction on campus, really become, you know, the state-of-the-art campus. And it's beautiful. The, you know, the science building, you walk in there and it looks like a luxury hotel. You know, so they invested a lot in this idea. And one of, you know, they had 15 planks of their sort of platform for what it was going to be. And one of the major ones was athletics. So Baylor was determined to not just become, you know, an academic powerhouse, but also to become a sports powerhouse. And, you know, in Texas especially, that means football. So they really invested a lot in the idea that they were going to turn their football program, which had never been good. There were, you know, occasional decent seasons from time to time, but until they hired Art Briles, they had one 10-win season in their entire history. He gave them, I think, four more. So you can see how it sort of turned around a lot of what they were and a lot of, you know, the principals at the school. Losing at football wasn't the principal at the school, but not taking on debt was. And not putting, you know, their not putting athletics above other concerns at the school were definitely things that that Baylor cared about. And they got in trouble in 2003 when one player on their basketball team actually was convicted of murdering another player on the basketball team. And then it came out that one of the coaches was paying the student who killed the other guy, that he was paying his tuition. And that was kind of the first Baylor sports scandal, and certainly the first Baylor sports scandal of the post-Baylor 2012 plan era. And then over the, you know, the past few years, there just been, you know, there have been more, and we've been learning a lot about it. There were, you know, two football players were convicted of rape, and, you know, several others have been accused, and there's been a lot of real questions about sort of the processes in place.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Dan Solomon, a writer for Texas Monthly, about all the things involving sexual assault and actual convictions for rape at Baylor University and all the fallout that has come as a result of that. Dan, it just strikes me as odd that so often we see these universities and particularly these athletics departments kind of hunker down and you know, circle the wagons and try to protect the brand. You know, PR 101 says that's the worst thing to do, and yet you see it again and again and again, denying that anything happened, or if it did happen, you know, the accuser is blowing it out of proportion. Even, you know, Tallahassee with FSU and Jameis Winston, and now, you know, there with Baylor, the police department maybe not being as proactive as it should be, you know, in protecting victims' rights, et cetera, et cetera. Where does this come from? And especially the idea that if we ignore it, it's going to go away.
Well, you know, like we were saying earlier, Baylor has always been kind of a sleepy school in a town that didn't get a lot of attention. And I think that in terms of sort of the PR failures, I think that a lot of that comes to the fact that they're just not used to attention. They, you know, historically, they have been able to just expect things to go away because there aren't that many people watching. So I think that they just weren't really prepared for all of the attention that they've been getting, and the fact that, you know, the less information they give, the harder it is to, you know, to get a straight answer out of them, the more people are inclined to say, well, we're going to keep looking then. And, you know, as people have kept looking, there's just been a lot to find. So I think that that's really kind of a big part of it, is that Baylor handled this all very strangely in terms of not being very forthcoming, being really, you know, making it really hard for people to get information. And as a result, I think that it tipped off a lot of people that, well, we're going to keep looking. Like, the harder it is to get people to give you an answer, the more inclined you are to think that the answer is going to be, you know, something bad.
Yeah, skeptical journalists, you know, as we're trained to be. The one outlet that you really wouldn't expect to be involved in this is HornsDigest.com. Which sounds like, you know, so many of these universities and athletics programs have sort of it's almost like a PR arm, you know, talking about all the great things that are going on in the athletics department, et cetera, et cetera. You wouldn't expect Horns Digest, or at least I wouldn't, to be involved in a story like this. And it looks like, along with you and your co-author, Jessica Luther, that some of the major digging has come from Horn's Digest.
Yeah, there have been a few Texas sports blogs or websites who've been involved in this. And, you know, I think that that's personally, it seems a little strange to me, just in terms of, like, these are people, you know, they don't work for the University of Texas, but they, you know, their ability to, their readers certainly are invested in the success of the University of Texas as a sports entity. So it's been surprising to me to see these people, you know, feel that this is an appropriate place for them to dig in. I understand, you know, that if, you know, when you hear something shocking about, you know, any institution and you have a platform, you want to get involved in it. It does make me a little bit nervous to see people who have a real clear investment in the success of Texas sports dig into what's happening at Baylor, just because it's a rival.
You know? Yeah.
I don't think that they've gotten anything, you know, extremely wrong, but, you know, it's also that this kind of work that involves reporting on sexual assault is very different from other sports reporting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a real challenge, that, you know, the stakes are very different. You know, the types of people, when you put someone, you know, there was a reporter for a you know, another outlet who, you know, ran photos of a victim that she sent him, presumably with her permission, on his Facebook page, that, you know, identified her by name and with her photos, that I, you know, suspect an editor at another outlet might have said, wait, let's make sure that this is really the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, this is someone kind of acting a little more independently and, you know, whose experience is mostly in reporting on, you know, who's going to start on Saturday, it just makes it a little bit, it's a complicated thing and it's a tricky thing. And, you know, I understand why it seems strange to people that, you know, University of Texas sports sites have been reporting on Baylor specifically. Just there's an inherent sort of, you know,
conflict
sort of
interest.
Conflict
yeah, for sure. We see that here, Go Pack, for example, NC State, you know, a lot of things get brought up there. And this is a similar situation. But regardless of where the reporting's coming from, you know, it comes down to what did you know and when did you know it, right? And that seems to be the thing that Baylor is really stonewalling about. It's, I didn't know anything about this until 2015 or – well, if you didn't know, why didn't you know? Who's in charge? So let's get into some of the what should you have known type conversation when we come back on Sports Focus. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Dan Solomon about lots of things that are going on at Baylor University. And Dan, we were mentioning just before the break the idea of I didn't know. Yeah, and you hear that a lot. I didn't know. And
right.
The obvious question is, why didn't you know? Who's in charge?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are sometimes when you can accept that, like, well, that person might not have known. There was a lot of back and forth between when Samu Guachi was convicted in August. There was a lot of back and forth between Art Briles and Coach Peterson, who was Uguachi's coach at Boise State, who's now at the University of Washington. Because, you know, Peterson made the unprecedented move of telling media that he had told Briles about his, you know, his concerns. He had thoroughly apprised him of the concerns around Samu Guachi. Briles said, well, he never told me that, you know, Uguachi had hit his girlfriend. And both of those things could be true because the concerns that were raised at Boise State were that Uguachi was a threat to his girlfriend. There were a lot of notes in his file about how, you know, if his girlfriend was going to be home, that she should call the police, she should have, you know, someone, she should be staying somewhere else to be safe. But they never said, we know he hit her. Mm-hmm. And Briles said, they never told me we know he hit her. So it could be true, but it is a matter of should you have known more than did you know?
Yeah. One thing that really kind of jumps out at me in some of your reporting and some of the information about all of this is that Baylor has hired this law firm, Pepper Hamilton, out of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And it's a law firm that specializes in offering recommendations to colleges and universities facing this kind of thing. It's like, there's a law firm that specializes in that?
Yeah.
Has the problem grown to that level that there's a law firm that specializes in this kind of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, and I don't even know if it's grown to that level or if we're just able to talk about it more. It might have been something that's been, you know, I don't think that any of this is particularly new. I think that the conversations around have changed. Certainly the law around it has changed as, you know, Title IX has made this a part of what Title IX is about just over the past, you know, 5 years. So I think that as much as it's a matter of, like, the problem has grown, I think the awareness of the problem has grown. And ultimately, that's a good thing. So, you know, I think that it's really easy to say, like, oh, my God, this is, you know, we're hearing about this so much more. It's an epidemic. And maybe we're hearing about it more because people are empowered to talk about it. Maybe there's a law firm that specializes in these investigations because there's now a demand for one, whereas before this would just get sort of swept under the rug.
Yeah, and throughout the past several years especially, you hear about this rape culture on college campuses. And, you know, my initial response to that was, well, I think that's a bit overblown. But then, you know, Baylor and FSU and Brock Turner, the swimmer at Stanford. And I wonder, you know, I still don't think there's a rapist behind every tree, but maybe there is something of a rape culture on college campuses. Maybe it has gotten that bad.
I think that there's a culture that doesn't like to talk about it. And if you don't talk about it, you make it possible.
So what do universities need to do? Just talk about it more
I mean, I think that's a good first step. You know, I think that holding people accountable, you know, I mean, one thing about the fact that Art Briles is very likely to be, you know, formally fired over this is that it says to other coaches at other schools that if you have this happen, you're not safe no matter how many games you won. You know, Art Briles completely transformed the football program at Baylor. And, you know, it sure looks like he is going to be formally fired any day now. And that says that it, you know, it doesn't matter what you can accomplish on the field. If you are, you know, responsible for letting this happen under your watch, you can be held accountable. And that's a good thing. That says that, you know, the boys will be boys attitude or the, you know, the idea that, you know, you can just kind of handle it all hush hush in house. That clearly isn't the world that we're living in anymore, and it shouldn't be.
And that does seem to have been the approach in so many of these cases, that we're not just going to handle it at the university level. We're going to handle it within the athletics department and really,
yeah,
really hunker down and protect the brand, et cetera. So perhaps talking about it more, perhaps, you know, punishments of this sort will make coaches and administrators realize that, hey, we're not protected. We're not as insular as we think we are. And perhaps, as you say, that is a good thing.
I mean, I think that it is. I think that that's what it ultimately has to be, that, you know, if it can happen at Baylor, then it can happen anywhere. And, you know, certainly Baylor has been a bad actor here. There's no question of that. But Baylor is not the only program that has these problems. It's not even close to the only program that has these problems. It's the one that, you know, that's closest to, you know, the beat that Texas Monthly covers. So it's why we've been focusing on Baylor. But, you know, you could find this at other schools for sure, and I think people are going to, and I think that those other schools should definitely be watching what happened at Baylor or what's, you know, what appears to be happening at Baylor in terms of, okay, this is, you know, this is how seriously to take it. You need to be willing to fire literally anybody, and I think that that's a good thing because I think that it really says that there's accountability all the way up to the top.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Dan Solomon. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.